Good morning and welcome. What a lovely day outside. I really think so spring might have sprung at long last. Just to remind us what's lying ahead, first of all, welcome to this morning. Please do stay for coffee and fellowship afterwards. Everybody is welcome. Next Sunday, as has been rolling round on the what exciting things are happening in our church, it's our anniversary next Sunday, and Catherine Hughes is coming to lead our worship, along with Stephen and Eleanor, thank you. And so we're having lunch afterwards, and there's a notice on the board outside by the hatch. You need to sign up for lunch so the catering team can do the honours for everybody that's coming to that. Welcome, stay for coffee. Right, today's service is, I'd like to say thank you actually to all those who are contributing. It's another own arrangement service. We've had a succession of these recently, but we're still going strong. And so to everyone who's helping us again with our own arrangement service to have a what happens in our community view, thank you very much indeed. The congregation really appreciate your contribution to help leading us in worship in our community. And Mandy's going to take the helm for that. Thank you.
Good morning. Let's just be quiet for a moment. Let's just be still. Loving God, open our eyes to the beauty of your holiness. Open our ears to the message of your word. Open our minds to the challenge of your truth. Open our hearts to the power of your love. Open our lives to the coming of your Spirit, that we might truly worship and serve you. And so we proclaim in song, God is here as we, his people, meet to offer praise and prayer.
Thank you.
So for, well, ignoring last week, go 2 weeks before, we've been thinking about or trying to answer the question, how does God speak to us? And wasn't it fascinating to hear what people said? Well, I thought it was, and also very challenging. Yes? Pardon?
Yes.
Thank you. Have you noticed the new banner that's appeared since that service? Quick off the mark. We'll be talking about that at Easter. So, following up on this, it seemed the natural course of events to ask the next question when it's an open service like this. Where does God want us to serve? What does he want us to do right here in Poynton and Stockport before we look any further? Maybe we can do that next time. Who knows? So, I wonder if anybody knows, like my little friends back here, when you come into church, what do you see first of all on the left-hand side? In the outside, when you first come through the front door, there's a big basket and we put tins and packets and we started to send it to a group here in Poynton. And I'm very glad to say that two of the people who work there are here to tell us all about it. And we thought we'd do it while you were in so that you learn where that food goes and maybe you'll add to it. Thank you. This is Judy.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. We've just heard, we volunteer at Poynton Community Larder, and through your grace, you've invited myself and David, who's another member of the team, to come and share a few things with you this morning about what we are, who we are, what we do, and how you can help. And we're very grateful, first of all, for you asking us to come here, but also we're very grateful for the support that you have already given us. We realise you gave an awful lot from your harvest donations and you are regularly giving food and support to us, and we really are appreciative of that. So I've just got a few minutes to talk to you a little bit about why we exist, about how we operate, and also about how you can help. So there has been a valid question, and we've been asked it a few times. Poynton is a lovely leafy suburb, so surely we do not need any food banks or larders to support those in need in a place like Poynton. But I have to tell you that actually there are areas of need in Poynton and areas of social deprivation that are as highly deprived as areas of Macclesfield and Withenshaw and Stockport. And what we seek to do in the larder is to support those who are actually suffering from not just food poverty, but something that's called food insecurity. And food insecurity is when people do not have reliable access to nutritious and affordable food. So it's not that they don't have any food in the cupboard, but it's that sometimes that need, that it's erratic, that they don't know one week to the next necessarily when they're going to be able to get the food that they require. Families have been hit hardest during the pandemic, with children, a lot of children, falling through the gap. In Poynton, the latest census shows that there are 10% of people in Poynton who live in Poynton who are actually claiming benefit, and 35% who are in rented or social housing. So there is definitely a need for some support for the people in our own locality, and that's what we are seeking to do when we set up the larder. Larder itself was set up during the pandemic, mainly because the schools were closed, and we started delivering some bags of food to the families who were on free school meals. And then we wanted to create something a bit more permanent following lockdown, and that's how the community larder came about. So we feel it's definitely needed, and although the Poynton picture isn't as desperate as some other areas in the country, there is definitely a need here. So what are our aims and objectives? We're hopefully aiming to help those households who suffer from food insecurity by providing nutritious, affordable food for them twice a month. And the aim also is to reduce waste, because we can take food from places like Fair Share that get food that's past its best before date, that's perfectly safe to eat. So we're helping to reduce waste as well. And because we're a Christian organisation, we're also aiming to share the love of God with the people in the community. So what do we provide? At the moment, we provide tinned, packaged, dry goods. We do not yet have fridges or freezers, so we cannot provide frozen or chilled foods. And we operate out of Poynton Baptist Church. So on a Wednesdays, on the first and third Wednesday of every month, we put all the chairs back and we operate on a sort of pop-up shop basis. I have to smile when I say pop-up shop, because it doesn't actually pop up. It's actually quite a lot of hard work to get the shelving out and put the tables up and wheel the trolleys and put all the food out and so on. The shelving looks a little bit like that. We had some grants from Poynton Town Council with which we bought shelving and tables and trolleys. And thankfully, we also had some money from Poynton Round Table and Tesco Community Grant and a few others that were enable us to actually purchase the hardware, as it were, that we can put and display the food on. It costs, people pay. The idea is that it's a dignified shopping experience. So unlike a sort of food bank where people need a social services referral and then they're just given a bag of food, people can actually choose what they need. And they pay £4 per shop, and that £4 entitles them to 15 items of food, 15 different items. You couldn't have 15 packets of biscuits, for example. So it's 15 different items, and the shelves are labelled, which says that how many items from that shelf they can take in any one shop. We also are able to access fresh fruit and vegetables and bread from Fair Share each Wednesday that we're open. So we do have some perishable food that then, if it's not all taken by the end of the larder, then that goes to Wellspring or to Barnabas in Manchester, which is a homeless shelter. So nothing is wasted in terms of the perishable food. We are also, people who are members can self-refer, but all we need for criteria really is that they are resident in Poynton. Because other services like this exist in places like Macclesfield and Stockport. So it is for Poynton residents. And it's open from 1:30 till 4:30 every first and third Wednesday of the month. So how can you help? There are lots of ways that you can help, and I know you've already started helping, and for that we're really grateful. One of the key ways is to promote the service. So if you do know of anybody living in Poynton that's suffering from a bit of financial hardship, even if it's just for a short time, then please let them know that we exist. Because part of the issue is people don't know we exist and therefore aren't aware of the help that they can get from us. sometimes people will just come for one or two or three larders until they've got through a tricky part in their lives. There have been a couple of ladies whose husbands lost their jobs and they came for a month or two, but now they don't come anymore because they no longer need it. So it sometimes bridges the gap in that way. You can help by donating, which I know you already do, but with food and hygiene products, or financially so that we can help to provide a better service. We are currently looking to see if we can find alternative accommodation. The Baptist Church is great in the sense that, you know, we've got a big space that we can put everything up in, but it is a real effort setting up, setting down every single time. It would be lovely if we could have some premises and some extra storage where we could remain and possibly look into the future, open more regularly. We thank you for your prayers. Prayer is really important. We are a Christian organisation and our Christian ethos includes prayer. And we also have in the larder, every time we're open, what we call a food for the soul table. So there's a little couple of photographs there that show you the sorts of things we put on the food for the soul table. So Valentine's Day, we did some verses from the Bible about God is love. They could take a chocolate. There's Christmas, we had verses about Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, you know, Emmanuel, God with us. We always have some sort of reflection or something they can read if they want to pause and reflect for a minute while they're shopping. There's also a little basket for prayer requests. And some of the people who come do put in and ask us to pray for them and for their families and for their situations. So the fact that you're able to hold us up in prayer is really important. And at special times of the year like Christmas and Easter, we give comics for the children and leaflets for the adults to take into their homes about those Christian festivals and what they mean. And Mothering Sunday is another one. And we hopefully pop in some little bits of things for them to think about in with their shopping baskets. We are hoping to give every single family, every child in every family that attends the larder. We currently have about 50 families on our membership register, and we're hoping to donate an Easter egg to every child in every family. So that we can be equitable, as equitability is one of our values, we're just hoping to get those little 97 gram Easter eggs. I think they're about £1.60 in the supermarkets at the moment, so everybody has the same size, and we can have enough to give each child in every family. We need round about 250 Easter eggs, I think, in order to provide for everybody. And so if you are in the supermarket and you see one of those little about this big and you think, oh, I can just donate one of those to the larder, we'd be very, very grateful for that. Thank you. It's really interesting because there's a quotation that I sometimes think about when I'm talking about the work of the larder, and it's anonymous. I don't know who said it, but it was along the lines of one person cannot change the world, but everyone can change the world for one person. And however, all acts of kindness and acts of generosity, however small, can make a real difference to people's lives. And I want to thank you for your support so far and bless you for letting us speak today. We really do appreciate it. And as you leave today, there will be some leaflets at the back about to update you on the work, and a sort of handout that gives you more information and possibly answers some of the questions that I may not have answered in speaking to you this morning. But thank you very much, everybody. We're really, really appreciative of your support. Thank you.
Is there anything that you're often short of?
Some of the key things that we cannot get from Fair Share because they're too expensive. We're overflowing with tins of beans and tins of soup and things like that. But things that are difficult are that people buy for families, like a tin of corned beef so they can make a meal with it, are very difficult. We run out of those very quickly. They go quickly and they're used, but we can never get them from Fair Share because they're actually a little bit expensive. So tins of meat, toilet rolls, and things like jars of tea, jars of coffee, tea, sugar, things like that possibly on the, I suppose it's because they're on the slightly more expensive side that we can't always get them from Fair Share. So we're always grateful for things like that. Thank you.
So that gives us a good idea of how we can help, doesn't it? And certainly those in the corner over there, what about providing an Easter egg? And put it in the food basket and we will make sure it gets there, a small one. Okay? And so we're going to sing again, especially for my friends at the back here. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
This light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Well, putting a tin or a packet in the basket out there is something that each and every single one of us can do. Think about the Easter eggs. Think about a child's face as she receives one, he or she. But you know, each one of us has been given a different gift. And we're going to hear now how some of those gifts are used. Those who come to worship on a Wednesday and stay for lunch will know that Julie's gift is catering. We get delicious sandwiches, sometimes hot meals. It's wonderful. But she uses her gift in the community. Julie.
Thank you, Mandy. First of all, I would like to thank everybody for the donation that was given from church to Just Ice of £250 from the Just Giving page. And please continue to support the charity. Most of you have been to Just Ice and hope that your visit have been enjoyable. For those who haven't heard of Just Ice or haven't been there, I would like to let you know of what we do there. All the profits stay in the charity to support survivors of modern slavery and human trafficking. We use fair trade ingredients in our 18 flavors of ice creams wherever possible. The natural, locally sourced ingredients go into our ice creams, avoiding artificial additives and chemicals. We are a nut-free cafe and cater for allergens. We serve lunches, so you could get paninis, quiche, sandwiches if you want to, and the cakes are all homemade in the premises. And we also make soups, and the different ones every day whenever you go. We use fair trade coffee, tea, and chocolates. And we use environmental ethos combustible tubs and spoons, and the furnitures are made of sustainable wood sources. We wear aprons made from fair trade cottons. So if you want to know more about Just Ice, you can find us on Facebook, and you can also find us on justicepoynton.org. Like the other volunteers at Just Ice, I enjoy and love volunteering there. I go every Tuesday, and there are times that when they're desperate for helpers, they just give me a ring, and if I get a chance, then I go. It's hard work sometimes because the place can get so busy. There's no tables that some people can find, but it's very enjoyable. We find that everyone that works there, really mostly are volunteers, but they're very friendly. And I remember the first time I went to Just Ice. I started early before we opened. But before the door is open for customers, there's always a prayer. And all the staff will be there. And we kind of like pray, but then it's not just one person that leading prayers. Everyone has got the chance to do it. But because the need for somebody who make lunches, they had to change my shift. I had to go a bit later so I can stay a bit later on for serving the lunches. But still, it is a very, very happy kind of place to work in. I do believe that contributing towards the work of this community, especially charity like Justice, is very important. The people, the beneficiaries that goes there to Justice are so unhappy because they have been taken away from the families, they've been taken away from the place where they were born and brought up. And they think that they would be coming to England or anywhere in Europe or other countries. And they believe that they come for a better life. But unfortunately, they're being brought here as slaves. But thinking that there are good people and there are people who wants to help them, that as soon as they are freed, they can find solitude, they can find happiness again. But this time, it takes time for them to develop the confidence to be in the society again. But I thank God for the existence of Justice in our community. This shows that the light is shining. The light of God is shining. Gentle thoughts and deeds are certainly circling us around, that even in the darkest spot of earth, God light and some love is found. Amen.
Even if we can't help Justice, we can all go in for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or an ice cream. What I like about Justice is those comfy chairs in the window. If I'm ever on my own and want a bit of peace, go in there, nice cup of coffee, and then somebody always comes to talk to me. So if you're feeling low, go and sit in there and just wait for somebody to come and speak. It's important, isn't it? I shouldn't say this, should I? Don't support the other cafes in Poynton. Try there. It's good. Somewhere just down the road is where Christine uses her talents at Wellspring. Now, Chris and I, when we were fit, used to help at Wellspring. It has changed somewhat. I better not say any more, had I? I'm going to steal your thunder. Christine.
Well, I've been volunteering at Wellspring for quite some time now. I think a lot of you may know the name. But I'm just going to tell you a bit, first of all, of what they provide for the people of Poynton, of Stockport. So they support people who are homeless or in danger of losing their home. And in order to do this, they respond to a combination of issues which surround housing, physical and mental health, domestic violence, substance misuse, debt, unemployment, illiteracy and social exclusion, and they provide help without judgment or prejudice. They aim to support people out of homelessness and work with a range of housing associations and projects. In the short term, they provide practical support by providing a hot shower, clean clothing, free food, and a sleeping bag. They aim to prevent people becoming homeless and to improve the physical and mental health of the service users. There is a dedicated surgery with an advanced nurse practitioner who will be there most of the time that it's open. They provide support for substance misuse, and they aim to develop the skills of the service users. And by doing this, they hope to build confidence and to create pathways for referrals to professional support services. And they also provide ongoing support. The range of volunteer activities, I first became involved when I was nearing retirement and I thought I would be cutting down on my hours at work and was wondering what to do. I originally got in contact with them with the aim of providing a veterinary clinic there one afternoon a week, but they said none of their users had dogs, so they suggested I go to Poynton, to Manchester. But I thought that was a bit far, really, so I chickened out of that. And with hindsight, I know it wouldn't have worked at all, but I decided that I would volunteer anyway. So this was before the pandemic, and it worked by being almost like a community centre where people could go and spend the day talking to people, doing games or puzzles and eating. But it was really more for the community. They also had access to computers where they could check their Facebook accounts, and it really was a social hub. But then during COVID, that had to change. And what we did was we provided lunches in takeaway boxes and a large number of them. Got through rather a lot of takeaway boxes. As we came out of COVID, they altered what they do. So now we just provide two sittings of food and the staff will work individually with the service users with the aim of helping them by providing whatever they need. So my role is that on Mondays, I go in and cook. So I usually arrive there, I look in the fridges to see what we've got, what was left over from Sunday, what's being donated. I look in the freezers, I look to see if we've got any fresh food, and then I decide how we're going to cook 60 meals. Which sometimes is quite interesting, I must say. I can feed 55 with 2 kilos of meat, no, 2 pounds of mince, plus chickpeas and lentils and all sorts of things that we might have downstairs. And I also know that if you roast a tin of potatoes, it's a lot nicer than just having boiled tin potatoes. So I have no skills to do this. My only cooking skill is having cooked for 4 boys as they grew up. So I am good at bulk. I don't do master chef style cooking. And the food that we use is donated by individuals, by supermarkets, which often send us close dated food. We have food from local mosques or synagogues. And sometimes you have to be quite innovative in what you do with all this food. But we try not to waste any, and any food that we don't use, then it will be shipped on to other places. So a lot goes to hostels in the Stockport area or other charities where it can be distributed to people in need. You might think that after I've done a shift on a Monday, I go home and bask with a rosy glow of having done something good. In actual fact, I go home, I make myself a cup of tea and I lie down for an hour because it's really hard work. But I really enjoy going. So I've always liked learning, and I also, through work, developed a love of chatting to people. And this is what I do. I chat to the other volunteers, who are often from walks of life that I would not have encountered before. I chat to the service users, and that can quite often be a revelation. And I'm really learning all the time that I'm there. So I learn the legislation that you need for dealing with the hygiene in the kitchen. But I also learn, more importantly, how people have ended up in the situation. It's often easy when you live in somewhere like Poynton and you walk past people on the street in Manchester or Stockport and think they must have done something wrong. There must have been something, they must be addicted to something, they must have done something dreadful. But in actual fact, a lot of people are just there through circumstance. When I was growing up, I grew up in the 50s. We didn't have a great deal of material goods, but what I did have was a very secure and loving home, which provided me with a firm base from which to go on and live my life. So many people who are service users at Wellspring have just never had that. They were on a non-starter right from the start, right from the beginning. Then you have people who've been in the army who can't seem to cope when they come out. What have they seen that is having such an effect on their lives afterwards? I think we have to be, I've learned to be a lot more understanding. And to go back to the dogs, there was one time when I used to walk past the people in Manchester after I'd been to a meal out or the theatre or something and think, well, they shouldn't have a dog. You know, I care about animal welfare and they can't provide it with the animal welfare, with the welfare that the dog needs. But actually, having spoken to people and read about it and thought more deeply, often they're the only companions they've got. They've been excluded from society. People often don't look at them as they walk past. And the dog is their friend. And it's really, really important to them that they are looked after. And so this is all part of my learning, and I continue to learn. And hopefully I'll be able to continue to go for quite a while longer.
So how can we help, Christine? How can we help?
Donations,
money?
Donations, monetary donations, goods donations, or your time. So I help in the kitchen. They also have people sorting out the food donations. They have people sorting out the food in the storage area. It has to be coded by date, and in that way. They have fundraising activities. There's a classical music concert coming up in Mellor. If you're interested in that, really excellent pianist who comes from Cambridge. I think he teaches music at Cambridge University. And as part of his Northern tour, he includes a concert for Wellspring. There's all sorts of ways that you can donate.
Thank you. It's certainly changed since we were there, hasn't it, Chris? It was in like a shack, for want of a better word. And we used to go and serve tea at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Those of you who know me well know that my culinary skills are, well, ordinary, shall we say. So guess what we used to serve? Beans on toast with cheese. But it was an eye-opener, a real eye-opener. We're going to sing again. Beauty for Brokenness. But we've enrolled our resident hymn writer, and you'll notice that three of the verses have changed somewhat to reflect what we've been talking about. Beauty for Brokenness, Hope for Despair.
Thank you.
Another person from our church uses her skills, which are very different from the skills we've just been learning about. She uses her skills to help our community as a first responder. Jill.
Morning, everybody. It's just right height. It's done quite well for size this morning.
Yeah, we, little ones are the best, you know.
Right, so first responding, what is it? Well, it's a voluntary scheme which has been set up by Northwest Ambulance, and it was set up in 2002, and there are 870 first responders in the Northwest area. Mind you, we have one of the biggest areas as an ambulance service. Better get my glasses on. I can't see what I've written. Right. We're based at home as first responders, and in Poynton, we're lucky enough to have a dedicated vehicle through generous donations from the Round Table, the Rotary, the Vernon Building Society, and fundraising events. The last one of the latter was a seven-year-old boy, gorgeous he was, who chose us for his fundraising and sat outside Honeybuns on Park Lane in the scorching heat, believe it or not, and raised us £350. There's quite an intensive training. It's held at Estuary Point or any ambulance station that has appropriate accommodation and room. And it consists of three intensive weekends, finishing with a practical and written assessment. And this is followed by ride-outs with several ambulances and local paramedics to get the feel of things. And from there on, we have an annual assessment and many online modules to complete every year. A nursing or medical background isn't necessary. I do have a nursing background. But I have to say that as a nurse in an emergency, you've always got somebody around to help you. With first responding, you haven't. And that is the huge difference. And that is why I decided I would go and see what it was all about. So following all these thoughts about first responding, I went and did the course, enjoyed it thoroughly, was very impressed by the professionalism and the depth to which it went. It's very difficult. The most difficult bit is realising that you're going to be on your own. And several people have done that course, and I did that course with me, and have started first responding and found it too stressful to be on their own and had to give up. Following the training, I joined the only other first responder in Poynton, who had qualified 5 months earlier. And we did several joint visits, which were very helpful. We have an app on our phones, which is linked to ambulance control at Estuary Point, Liverpool, who contact us and offer us a call out. We can refuse it. We never do, but we can refuse it. We're called out only to category ones and twos, and these are termed imminent threats to life. So, namely, cardiac arrests, heart attacks, strokes, and choking. I've also been called out to many cases of sepsis and, unfortunately, overdoses. We press mobile on our app when we've accepted the call, and it switches immediately to the GPS, and it takes us straight there. It's very clever, except for Wilmslow Manor. And the third time, I realised I wasn't going to get there. It deposits you by an 8-foot-high hedge, which is 6 feet in depth, and you look round and it's not there. And in actual fact, when you find it, it's another mile away, but on the other side of the hedge. So I have to remember that one. We press mobile on our app when we've accepted, and as I say, it goes to GPS. It also tells us how long the ambulance is going to be, which is very reassuring. The trouble is, sometimes there's nothing where that should be, and then you start to worry. However, If we feel it's necessary, when we've checked the patient over, we can expedite the ambulance by calling control. As well as all the obs we do, it's vital to observe and listen and assess the seriousness of the situation. They're all serious situations, but some are extremely serious. We're provided with a basic kit by Northwest Ambulance, comprising a huge bag, look at the size of me, thermometer, oxygen meter, defibrillator, oxygen tank, blood pressure machine. And by now you must have a mental picture of me entering the house with all my kit. We generally visit within a 3-mile radius of home, and the idea is that we arrive before the ambulance and commence first aid. This isn't always the case, mainly due to traffic congestion and roadworks, as you can imagine in Poynton, and we don't have a blue light. So sometimes I get there with the ambulance, sometimes I get there after the ambulance, and have to apologise as I'm coming second, not first. There are 4 of us now, 3 at the moment due to injury, no set rota. We just discuss on our WhatsApp group what we can do, and I do weekdays with being retired. We can go on for as many hours as we want, it's our choice. We log off when we feel ready. Our role also involves delivering CPR sessions at local organisations. We've done the Sports Grounds, the Boar's Head, the Dean Water, as was, to name but a few. And we attend local functions such as the annual bonfire and the Christmas Fest. So that's what it is. And Mandy said to me to say why I do it. Well, first of all, I had a nursing background, so I suppose I was interested in health and illness and what we can do for it. But first of all, I think I can lay the blame squarely at the feet of David Emerson, a previous minister in Poynton, who many of you will remember with great affection. Several years after he moved to Yorkshire, we met up and he said he was doing some voluntary work, which he thought would interest me greatly. And he told me all about his first responding role. I thought about it for a while and then let it slide until I was sitting waiting for a blood test at the local surgery, and straight in front of me was a leaflet advertising first responding. I thought this must be a sign. And I contacted the resus team and eventually commenced the course, as they don't run regularly. And here I am 7 years later. Then I began to think of another reason that I do it. I was brought up in a huge Methodist family, as Muriel will tell you, both nuclear and extended. And my immediate family's faith dwelt on the following: love, caring, compassion, understanding, kindness, and forgiveness. And I realised that my upbringing had instilled those values in me, and these aspects of faith are vital to my role. I'm seeing people who are experiencing one of the most terrifying moments of their lives, and the fairly rapid arrival of someone who can offer reassurance is vital. So if I can offer this, I'm content. Just to finish, I have had one or two amusing incidents, which is not all doom and gloom. And you might not find them amusing, but in situations like this, it's amazing what you do laugh at. But I did arrive to find a mum, lying on the floor, and her daughter delivering CPR. But mum was well alive, but she hadn't noticed. I had to say to her, "You've done really well. Now, come along and sit down." And mum was just very, very low. But even though it sounds a little bit quirky, that sort of appealed to my sense of humour. So you have to laugh. You have to find humour in what you do. But it is also quite a serious situation. Thank you.
Thank you. All I can say is, wow. Did you realise that first responders were voluntary workers? Yes.
Did anybody not realise that? Am I all alone? Thank you. My goodness. I don't quite know what to say after that, Jill. God bless you. The hymn that she's chosen is Be Thou My Vision. Talked about going out into the community. But let's turn it round. Think about the ways that we invite our community to join us here. An obvious example is Ladies' Fellowship. A lesser known one is Breakfast Church. Hilary.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Breakfast Church is great. We meet on the first Sunday of every month, starting at, well, we get there early, don't we, Liz? But it opens at 9 o'clock, and the families gallop in, is the word I would use. I've been trying to think of the words to help me understand Breakfast Church. The first one was laughter and energy. Mutual support, hospitality, fun, teamwork, love. Laughter and energy. If you were an observer at Breakfast Church, standing at the door, you would see so much energy, laughter, meeting and greeting and a hint of chaos. Breakfast Church is fun and provides a very warm welcome to our families. Hospitality. Breakfast Church starts with breakfast. We have sausage sandwiches, toast, fresh fruit, tea, and most importantly, proper coffee. We have amazing craft activities following the food. And then we all come into church. We set the cushions out on the floor and have a Bible story. We always have a theme each month. We have a Bible story and we have a song that fits in with the theme. We've been really delighted to welcome some new families recently. And our last breakfast church, we welcomed nearly 30 children, parents, grandparents, and the volunteers that help, leading on to teamwork. We have a great team. Thank you to Jonathan, to Liz, Hilary Banks, Zoe and Steve for the shopping, the cooking, the setting out the furniture, the craft, the story, the song. Please come along if you would like to. If only to help with the washing up, that would be great. Love and support. Our breakfast church is truly supportive. We have a WhatsApp group to which everyone contributes. This keeps us in touch in between our breakfast church sessions. It offers support. It sends birthday wishes. It sends helpful information. And it's really made a difference to solidify the group. In the foyer, we've had a team working on the foyer fairly recently, and my input has been the quote from Corinthians, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I believe faith, hope, and love abound at Breakfast Church.
Thank you. So, anybody up for a sausage butty? David, will you promise to be brief? Yeah, follow that.
Mandy coloured me recently and said, would I follow Phil Maltby in giving my experiences of encountering God in daily life. It doesn't fit in with any of the previous five speakers. I'll be very brief. I'll divide it into three areas: family, meeting God, watching the telly, going to Wetherspoons, and then church. Family, how do you meet God? When your first child is born, nobody needs to tell you there's a God. It's just so, there's so much love and warmth. And after waiting, in our case, I think 5 years, you know that God is behind that. Darwin might have evolved the universe, but God created the process that started it all and gave us the love in a child. And then that's followed up with your first granddaughter. That's equally as amazing in terms of encountering God, to know that one of your daughters has produced another daughter. It's amazing. I couldn't plan that on my own. And I remember when my mother, Scottish mother, came from a family of 8 children, I remember the day when her mother passed away, and she didn't know her mother was really ill, and we lived in Sunderland, so we were 200 miles away. But the day my grandmother, my mother's mother, died, my mother was upset the whole day. She didn't know why. She was just disturbed. And then when the post office laddie arrived on his motorbike with a telegram, she burst into tears even before my father answered the door. So she knew her mother had died. And we didn't have telly or WhatsApp. So there's a link to God in that. And one story she did tell me, she, coming from a large family, her eldest sister, the first child of the eight children, had died as a little girl at the age of one or two. She'd been very ill and was diagnosed with something in those days they called consumption. Now, you might know what that is. I haven't a clue what consumption is. But I remember my mother saying that her mother had told her that when her elder sister had been ill in bed, deteriorating for a month, was bedridden, only could just eat, but on the moment she passed away, she sat up, bold, upright in bed, reached out her arms and smiled as though to say, someone has come for me now. And even just saying it makes me tingle, because if you weren't a Christian and you witnessed that, you would know that that child was going to meet God. Very quickly, have I got another 30 seconds? Or?
Yeah, 30 seconds.
Okay, watching a film, you've all seen The Railway Children. Jenny Agutter on that platform, her father's been away for a number of years. When she sees her father, when all the smoke clears on the platform, and she shouts, Daddy, my daddy, I always burst into tears. And you know, sorry, Stuart, you know there's a God then. You know there are things in life where God is behind it. And for a daughter to see her father after so many years, you know God's behind that. Samson's here at Muddy Church, if he hasn't wrecked it already. You should have put me on first, no, you'd have got rid of me. And I watch Attenborough's Blue Planet with Samson. And the look in his eyes when he looks at all the fish, the whales, the sharks, he can name everyone. And you think, who created this universe, these fish, these animals? It's such a loving experience. And there's so much, we know about 1% of what goes on in our world in terms of our fish and wildlife and animals. Let me talk about Wetherspoons. It's a little bit more serious. Since I was a young lad, I used to be in Point and Round Table doing Christmas float, bonfire and everything else. And incredibly, although I've got no friends in the world, as Mandy knows, I've known some of these round tablers for 40 years. And we meet in Wetherspoons every week. Phil's had to suffer that when he's listened to Zoom meetings, and I've come back for a Zoom meeting after two or three pints with these boys. I love them all dearly, but only two of them ever went to Sunday school, and none of them attend church now. And the men, they beat me up if anything goes wrong in the world, if it's Putin, if it's a child being abused. One of them says to me 2 weeks ago, and quite understandably, he said, there's another one of your priests gone down fiddling with little boys. What are you doing about it in your church? And he's right to ask, because the church doesn't always respond to that. And we end up with a stigma that we shouldn't allow to happen. So I always give the same answer, because I don't know how to answer these questions. And I say, well, look, I love analogies. Analogy of an earthly father and mother to their children is to bring a child up with love and discipline, hopefully, and give them the sound values. As Jill said, I think you said you came from a massive Methodist family. That's wonderful. But if you are brought up with those values, they stand with you for life, don't they? Many people don't have those values. And I always say to my friends, God does not micromanage us in the same way as our parents didn't micromanage us. After we became adults, we had the basics in us, and we have to go out and we have to behave in the world as our parents taught us to behave. But I do get beaten up. They tell me off for introducing God, and I do introduce it surreptitiously in a lot of the conversations, and I get beaten up for it. But we all have to bear with that. Sorry, Mandy, I'll jump a few. Let's talk about the church then. I've been very blessed in the churches I've been to know people who you... There are a lot of people who you look at and you just know that God is in them. People like Theo Eaves, people like Ray Brown. Ray Brown used to be my go-to advisor when atheist friends of mine would challenge me on things like the flight out of Egypt, when the Israelites crossed the sea, and the waters came back and drowned all the Egyptian soldiers in their chariots. And my friend said, look, these are the sons of people. They don't deserve to be killed. Where's your God in all of this? And it's a valid question, isn't it? And Ray said to me, look, David, he said, there's a lot in the Bible that can be contradictory and we don't understand it. But you've got to go back to what, in your experience and learning and understanding of God and the Christian message, what would God and Jesus do in that situation? And I think that's one of the things you take with you to try and help you when you don't know. Finally, just very recently, I learned something from Frank Bishop and my youngest daughter. My youngest daughter said to me, Dad, when you say, thank you for the food we eat, amen, in the morning, you shouldn't just relate that to earthly food, you should relate it to heavenly food. And I thought about it, and then, as often happens when I'm thinking about something to do with God, Frank Bishop, Frank and Sheila, I think are wonderful. They give us a Christian message which you could have heard 60 years ago. It's as relevant now as it was then, and I thank them for it. And in one of the communion services, Frank reminded us, he said, you are coming here because today you will be in God and God will be in you. And you should remember that that's the way you should conduct your lives. So you all know that, you've got that thought. So I now combine my bowl of shreddies with thank you for the food we eat. Please put me in you today, God, and please be with me today. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these opportunities to hear about the work people do in our community in your name. And they have challenged each and every one of us to think about the part we play. Help us to be generous in our response and never to overlook the simple act of really listening to the people we meet. We pray for Just Ice and Poynton's Community Food Bank, that both will prosper. Bless the people they help, that no one goes hungry or is exploited. We think of the work of Wellspring. Give wisdom and understanding to all who work there, those who seek to improve the lives of the people who go there, whether by providing much needed food or clothes or advice as to how they can improve their lives. We pray for Jill, who uses the gifts you have given her, even in retirement. We pray for her safety as she responds to people in great need, rejoicing in the lives that she has saved. We acknowledge those who've made this church such a welcoming place in the care that they take of the building or the invitations they offer to meet here. And we pray that you will guide the leaders of Breakfast Church and of Muddy Church, that many more will learn of your love. But we cannot leave here, Lord, without praying for Gaza and Israel and the Ukraine and Russia. We pray that you will give wisdom and understanding to all the politicians involved in all the talks that are taking place. We just pray for peace. And finally, in the silence, we pray for ourselves
Forgive us, Lord, when we get so wrapped up in our own affairs that we fail to think of others. As we leave this church, help us to think, what can I do in your name? Amen. Skip to our last hymn, please, John. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. The next one, please, Brian. Next hymn. Just press N. Flick down then, flick down, give me oil in my lamp. Go through all the verses. It's all right, I always say, if you can do better. I'm sorry, and we're running very late. Let's just stand. Ah, oh. Not to worry, let's just stand and say the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Evermore. Amen. And thank you to all those who've made us think so hard this morning. And let's go out thinking, what's my part in all this? Mm-hmm.